The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, welcome to Thinking Outside the Long Box's interview episode with Derek Wilson of Future Man. You guys have probably already heard our episode of Future Man where there was kind of a split decision. Some of us liked it, some of us found it funny, some of us were nonplussed, but that's okay. We still love talking to the people that make the things that entertain us. Derek, how are you doing today, man?
Good, man. Who's nonplussed?
You know, okay, so this is what's funny is we all watched it and recorded the episode, and then the interview started coming in, and obviously we want to be, like, totally honest. One guy really disliked it. I thought it was funny, but, like, wasn't – like, it was really funny, but I don't think it just didn't capture my attention just because so much other crazy shit is going on right now. And then the guy that suggested it wouldn't shut up about it. He loves it so much. It's like the full gamut. I don't think anybody was like, it's awful, but
it's pretty, it is kind of divisive actually. I mean, I think it's just pretty, which is fine. I mean, you know, I'd rather it gets any reaction than no reaction. So, you know,
what's best about something like this where not everybody agrees is that it creates the best conversations where we argue with each other and call each other names and, like,
it's true. It is such an important piece of work too.
It
needs to be debated for years to come.
Oh, I cannot imagine that this won't be in film history books for decades. So Derek,
I do hope to be a footnote in the James Cameron and some sort of James Cameron biography at some point in the history, maybe. You know, nice. I think that'd be pretty cool.
You'll definitely be in the footnotes of the Seth Rogen universe, though.
Right.
And I definitely don't want to drag down your show or anything. I did laugh. Like, I was watching it while I was cooking dinner, and I laughed through, like, the whole thing. And it just, it keeps those hits coming. Tell me. When you read the script the first time, were you like, really? We're going to, like, rip off every science fiction show ever, then call it out in the script, and then just, like, bang each other to relieve stress? Like,
well, I didn't know, because with the pilot, I was doing another series for Seth. I was doing Preacher, and we were in the middle of shooting the first season of that, and then this came along, and it happened so fast. Like, they needed somebody to play this part, and 2 days they started shooting. So I read the script really quickly and barely understood what was happening. I didn't even understand the tone of it. It was basically like just show up and put on this weird costume and, you know, let's see what happens. I don't think we were banging in the first episode yet. I didn't know how weird it was going to get. The pilot was pilot's kind of straightforward. It's kind of like, you know, it's pretty much, what's the movie that it's based, sort of based around?
Last Starfighter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Last Starfighter. It's funny because there's a moment where you guys come back, you know, and say, you know, you're the savior. I was like, fuck, that's just the Last Starfighter. And then he goes, that's exactly just the plot for the Last Starfighter. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, they get it. Yeah. Like, that's amazing. Exactly.
it sets up the tone pretty well. But yeah, I mean, I just, you know, we didn't know what Wolf was going to be. We had no idea. He was just going to be kind of a straightforward, like, battle hardened. I didn't even think he was going to be funny, honestly. And, you know, it just ended up being growing into something else as we shot the season. And I was all for it. I mean, I love the guys I love Kyle and Ariel, the creators, and working on Seth and Evan's show, it was just like, I just trusted those guys. So I was always just like, showed up and just was like, yeah, let's do whatever. I mean, I'm going to do a butt rail today. Okay, great. Awesome. You know?
Oh man.
It's, it's just super fun. You know, it's like the best kind of clown work you could do. It's very serious, but then, you know, circumstantially, it's in context. It's hopefully funny.
So a lot of the first season has to kind of do with like the video game idea, like this idea that he played the video game and that's why you guys think that he's going to be this, like, you know, ultimate warrior. Like, are you a big fan of video games? Is that like something that you drew on for this to kind of mold your character?
Honestly, yeah, I never really was into video games. And when this show got picked up, I bought a console and started to play a couple of things, and I've played some things since then, but you know, I don't, the only thing I really got into in the last years was Red Dead 2. I've played through that a couple of times, but you know, I like Westerns and that kind of stuff. So it was fun. But like, yeah, it wasn't something I was really into. So I started to draw more on like action figure, stereotype things that I do, you know, and I think that's where the whole 80s thing came from, because I was just talking about, like, you know, Stallone and all that stuff randomly. So I think some of that may have got snuck in there into the writer's room, but you know, I can't remember which came first, honestly. I'm sure they came up with all that stuff first, but it's a very collaborative show, actually. Yeah, but I mean, I've played a couple things. I played Spider-Man, you know, but I'm pretty ignorant when it comes to video games.
When you're working on the show, you know, you say it's a pretty collaborative show. Is that like, you know, if you come up with like a good joke or something funny and you can suggest it, or is it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm, yeah, just
for sure. We always get what's written. And then, you know, if there's always like alternatives we throw in there, especially when Seth is on set, because he's just always, his mind is always working, and he's so good at improv and so funny, obviously. That, and when he's acting, it's like you just don't know what's coming at you, and it's really fun. but, and it's, you know, he will, he's, I'm pretty hard to break, actually, but I can, he will break me pretty easily.
What's one of like the strangest moments that you like walked into? Cause there's like a lot of crazy things that happen on this show. Like, was there ever a day where you walked in and the setup, you looked at it and was like, what the hell is happening today?
Oh my God. Well, I mean, you usually know kind of what's coming up, but I feel like every day is like that just about. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I don't know, especially this season. All the stuff in Haven, that sort of dream world thing, was crazy. My little cabin, my Cabo Wabo cabin thing, and all the crazy, the graphs. I mean, it was just, I don't know. There's like orgies. Season two, I was always sending nudity waivers for my lawyer to look over. You know? Like, it's just like, I was always having to drop trow and like, it's just, I don't know. There's always something.
So yeah. with nudity, like, obviously there's people that don't like working with nudity and things like that make them nervous. Obviously that wasn't a problem.
Well, yeah. Are there? But the thing is, you can make other people, you know, like, if I have to be naked on set, I make sure the other actors are comfortable, like, because a lot of times it's a guest star that's there for a couple of days and you don't really know them, you know? So I like to make sure they're comfortable, because it's not just about me, it's, you know, about everyone else. So it's a little tricky, but yeah, I mean, I just got used to it. In season one, I had a little bit, season two, a lot, and season three, a little bit. A lot of it that we shot ended up not being in the show, I think. Because I watch it, I'm like, I remember being naked a lot more.
What I've always wondered is, like, I've never had the opportunity to ask this, so this is kind of a off the wall question for me too. But like, how does a director or like a producer like approach you and say, look, we want you to take your clothes off as a joke? Like, you know, it's not for a sex scene or anything. It's literally just like to make people laugh.
Yeah. I mean, if it's in the script, you know, sometimes it'll be in the script, like, Wolf just standing with his pants down and straws connected between his butt and his mouth and blowing coke up his own butt. You know, it's like, you know that you're going to have to do something weird. So it's kind of in there. So the discussion is usually, what is the shot? What they always ask, at least on our set, it was always like, what are you comfortable with? And, you know, what's the angle? Like, it's just, it's very specific and safe is the way it should be. And I always felt safe doing it on this set. So, yeah, it was not a big deal.
I keep having this mental image of, you know, just be sure you catch my left butt cheek. That's my good butt cheek.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know which one is good. I never see it. So
it's true. Except for the last time you watched an episode of Future Man. So,
yeah, right.
So, you know, you also worked on Preacher, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask a little bit about that. What was the experience of working on Preacher like? You know, how did you enjoy that set?
Well, Preacher was kind of was pretty much a big shift and game changer for me, because that's where I met Seth and Evan, and you know, it was their first venture into television. I kind of knew the graphic novel, so I went and bought them, and knew that the character I was auditioning for wasn't in the graphic novel, so there was nothing to really base on. And my character was only supposed to be in a couple episodes, and after the pilot, they expanded it, so that was kind of nice. And then from there, Future Man. But that set was great. I mean, there were amazing actors on that show, and Sam Catlin, the showrunner, is just this amazing mind, amazing writer. He directed the final episode of that season. I think it was the final episode. Just great. It was a great energy all around, at least in the first season, which is all I did. And then went right from that to Future Man. But yeah, it was great. It was in Albuquerque. We shot in Albuquerque, which I had never been there before. A lot of New Mexico is beautiful. I loved being there. So yeah, that was cool.
Reading, having read like the graphic novels and being able to like dive into it as a TV show, do you find that it's helpful to have like different source material besides the script to like lean on as you're kind of developing what you want to do as an actor?
You know, what's interesting, when I started shooting that, I had just read this novel by this really disturbing but incredible novel by Cormac McCarthy called Blood Meridian. And I showed up to set one day, and there was something that looked really familiar on set, looked like something from the book. And I talked to Sam Catlin about it, and he had just read the book too. So that ended up being sort of a strange little source, I think, for him. And then, you know, sort of the violence of that world crept into Preacher a little bit too, I think. I mean, Preacher's already pretty violent, but yeah, so it's hard to remember what else there was. I listened to a lot of Willie Nelson when I was there, which I do anyway, but I remember listening to a lot more while I was there. Yeah, some more country western type stuff.
That's so cool. Yeah,
I have a lot of like influence and things happening, you know, around me when I'm doing something. I love, you just never know what is going to influence you, so I just try to be open to things.
That's awesome. Like the whole Blood Meridian is a great book, and like this idea that you're leaning, that kind of violent Western that Blood Meridian is really speaks to like the nature of Preacher too. Like they both have very similar tones, just, you know, less sense. Crazy
it in was Blood funny Meridian. I mean, it's so disturbing. I saw this thing that just seemed like it was from the book, and I said to Sam, I was like, this looks like Blood Meridian. He said, oh yeah, it's something like, you know, I read that just not too long ago, and it's totally influenced this. So
that's really cool.
He may or may not remember that, but I remember it happening that way. So
right. When you know, we're all kind of hunkering down in our homes, you know, we're all stuck, you know, trying to entertain ourselves. What are some of the things that you have been doing while you're trapped in your house?
Well, I I switch the side. I part my hair on different sides every day. Keep it kind of fresh and exciting. I've been writing a couple things with my writing partner who's in Connecticut, but we connect as much as we can. We've got two projects we kind of have up in the air, trying to sort of finish and hopefully sell at some point. But you know, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with the industry? I mean, any industry. So that, you know, creatively, been cooking a lot, been wrestling with my dog a lot, you know, just the same kind of stuff everyone's doing. Reading, watching movies, exercising. I was very proud of myself. I saw the possibility of this happening a couple of weeks before it officially happened, the lockdown. And I went ahead and froze my gym membership and just bought a set of dumbbells and a bench. So I have I can actually work out, which is very important to me. I need it just physically and mentally too.
I couldn't tell for sure.
Yeah,
well, sorry.
yeah, that's right. But you know, and it is, it's actually a part of like, what I mean, you know, it's kind of weird, but I like to stay in shape. It's kind of a part of what I get hired to do, you know, to sort right. of do so, which is fine. It's cool. It's a good motivator. So yeah, I mean, just, and I've got a couple of friends that live in the neighborhood and we only hang out with each other. So we have a little three person sort of quarantine group,
nice.
Which has been nice. And we all have dogs. So the dogs get to play and, that's been good. We sort of set it up really nicely, but you know, I hope we get through this at a reasonable amount of time. And I mean, it's just crazy. It's so surreal. I drove a little bit through LA last night, just cause I hadn't driven my car in like almost a month and I needed to knock the cobwebs off of it.
Right.
And the streets are just completely empty, as they should be. But it's just surreal on a Friday night at 9 o'clock to drive through. It's just like 15 minutes, but it's just so surreal. I mean, I'm not saying anything and no one knows, but
I know.
It's just hard to believe what's happening. So
it's definitely like a once in a generation kind of event. It's crazy.
It's crazy. And I think it's going to, for those of us who are going through it, I mean, it'll affect us for the rest of our lives. You know, I feel like I will always have some kind of awareness of space between me and another person. Now it's just right. sort of ingrained already after a month or two of this, you know, I can't imagine not noticing how close I am to somebody. And, you know, you watch movies now from the before time and you see people next to each other and you notice it, or I do. And it's like,
I saw a concert scene in a movie, I want to say like 2 or 3 days ago. And all I could think was, man, that's a lot of people in one place. Like, you know, it made me, instead of being like, oh man, I missed that, it just made me nervous, you know?
Yeah. It makes me anxious.
Yeah. It's this
poor people. Yeah,
I know. Strangest experience. You know, it's thinking so about weird. Thinking about all the things that, you know, I'm a big wrestling fan. I was like, oh man, when my local promotion starts back up, oh man, are they ever going to be able to start back up? You know, how can they afford to put on a show if only like, you know, 50 people are allowed to come? And I don't know, it's just weird. Everything's weird.
Yeah. It's so weird. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, we do what we can. I've definitely been doing a little bit of, you know, furniture rearranging.
Just like, yeah, I'm replacing a garbage disposal.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna flip my bedroom around and, you know, put some, it's just, you know, you just, I don't know, you just stay engaged somehow.
Right.
And I actually have a Zoom party tonight with my grad school, my acting school nice. Class, which will be fun. And I, you know, we wouldn't have done that otherwise. Most right. of them live on the East Coast. And so that's been kind of a nice thing to reconnect with people that I really had no excuse not to before, but now it's just, I feel like there's extra effort and frankly, there's more time for it.
Yeah, it definitely has slowed down my life to the point where I'm doing a ton more just as a family, you know, eating dinner, watching movies, yeah. Like, you know, yeah. We're not all rushing in a million different directions to go to sports and school and activities and stuff. Right. We're just, it's like, oh, well, who wants to watch Trolls Worldwide tonight, you know, or World Tour, which incidentally is great, but.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Derek, as we get kind of close to the end of the interview, I know it's kind of like a weird time, you know, in the world. You know, we're not really planning too much ahead. What are some things that, you know, you would look forward to working on, you know, given the opportunity once this all kind of ends its course?
I look forward to finding another series to do, something with, I love our show. I love Future Man. I love playing Wolf, but I definitely look forward to playing, a less sort of out there. Not that he wasn't grounded, but you know what I mean? Like just more of a everyday person. And, you know, even like a drama or something. I never thought I would be in a comedy. I never considered myself a comedic actor. And so it's just funny. I found myself on this. So it'd be nice to get back on that. And, you know, I come from the theater. So I look forward to actually doing a play at some point, which who knows when that's going to happen.
Right.
You know, it's, that's going to be a while. I was actually supposed to possibly do a production of Macbeth in the fall, which won't be happening now, in New Jersey. But, you know, it's, who knows? So there's a lot. I mean, I just look forward to collaborating and working with people again and making stuff, you know, just like everyone else.
I think that's the most
people.
I think that's the most difficult part about all of this is just not being able to, like my podcast, when we record, you know, we rotate whose house it's at. We go, we sit down, we have dinner, we drink a few beers, you know, just we chat and we have fun. It's like my big extended family. And now that's happening over, you know, over Zoom or you know, Skype or something like that. And it's weird because, you know, you end up feeling super, super separated from people that you're very close to. And that's as somebody whose living is derived from like that collaborative, like artistic, you know, effort, that's got to be incredibly like frustrating. Like, is it just, I mean, you got to feel super pent up. Like, do you sometimes like act to yourself occasionally or?
Well, I have, you know, someone here in the neighborhood. I told you we've got a little group. Last night we were hanging out, and I said, "Let's just start reading Shakespeare. Like do, you know, something to engage with that part of our brains and our souls." And so we may be doing that, you know. But yeah, I mean, sure. Also, though, you know, as actors, we frankly have a lot of practice just sitting at home doing nothing and, you know, not having a job. So in a way it feels like old times. But you know, it also produces anxiety for the same reason. So yeah, I look forward to getting back out there as everyone else does. But I'm willing to do what it takes, you know, and I think a lot of us are
definitely
to get through this thing.
Yeah, I'd rather keep my family safe than go to Applebee's.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. Me too.
That Shakespeare idea, that's cool, man. I hope you guys start doing that. I feel like that would be really,
I mean, it's something I used to do that. I used to do that anyway. I would have a few friends over and we would just read a play or read something or you know, just to sort of be engaged with things, with art and speaking. And of course, I can't do that now, but with a couple people I have, I can. And so we might. I also want to figure out how to set up, because I play guitar, and I've got a couple of friends that we get together and we jam. One of them is the show creator, Ariel Shafir. We can't do that now, of course, but I want to figure out how to do that through Zoom and get the timing right. I'm pretty ignorant tech wise, so
right.
I'll let them figure it out, and then I'll just do whatever I have to do. But that's actually what I miss a lot, is getting together and making music. You know, and I'm not a great guitar player, but it's still fun to do.
That's awesome. I've seen a few people like do collaborative music online, but it seems like it's kind of tricky because of like delays with sound and stuff like that. So,
yeah, well, I've been watching the Versus battles, the Swiss Beats, and you know, that whole Teddy Riley debacle was pretty tragic.
Yeah.
But then Post Malone just did this thing yesterday where he did, I think, 15 Nirvana songs, and it was awesome. You know, they're all in different places. And it was cool. So, you know, I just got to figure out how to do it. Maybe somebody will let me know how to do it.
Somebody will figure it out for sure.
Yeah. I know it can be done. I've seen it. So,
as we look to the future, Derek, how can our fans find you online, keep track of you, and see what you're going to be in next once we decide that things can happen again?
I'm on Instagram. My handle is @_ Derek Wilson. And it's the same with Twitter. Although I don't do a lot on Twitter, I just started to, just yesterday I tweeted something, which I never do. And I was like, maybe I should do more Twitter stuff. But I'm mostly on Instagram, and it's mostly pictures of my dog. So, you know,
nice.
If you like pictures of cute pit bulls, then you can find Olive on there. My dog is Olive Pitt.
Aw, that's cute.
Yep, that's my sweetie.
Well, Derek, thank you so much for your time, for talking to us about Future Man and Preacher. And man, we look forward to you being in other stuff. You know, maybe even someday YouTube videos of you reading Shakespeare with your friends.
Yeah, that may be all we have, man. I don't know. Hopefully not. But yeah, I look forward to getting out there and doing something.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.